Today we'll be covering the fourth of the idols of modern day America, and for even those of us who believe in God and claim Jesus as our Savior, we sometimes, either purposefully or accidentally, end up worshiping other things in order to get life from them. So we've already covered the fact that we sometimes look for satisfaction, for security, for a good feeling from our stuff when we talked about treasure. And then we talked about how sometimes we pursue the feeling of feeling good all of the time and not to find that pleasure in God, but we find it in other things, in other people, in other activities. And last week we looked at how we sometimes begin to worship reputation or what other people think about us. And that we want people to think about us so highly that it actually borderlines on us asking other people to worship us instead of us thinking about what God thinks of us and what he has done for us and us worshiping him. We demand that people think highly of us. Today we want to talk about something that hinges on a lot of these other things that we've already talked about or will talk about. It is very similar in the essence of it is a desire, a longing to feel a certain way, like we talked about when it's with pleasure, feeling happy and good and all the time. It also often is expressed wrongly in our life by the need to have things in order to feel this way. I want to first ask, did anyone wear something terribly uncomfortable today? I'm looking at the women because I know you got some shoes on. All right. So some of us wore some things that were uncomfortable. We have what is a big problem here, specifically in first world, this idea of comfort being something that is so terribly important to all of us that, like, literally there is not a facet of your life where the question of comfort is not being asked. And the way I know that is because literally every commercial has everything to do with making you comfortable. We will ditch shoes because they're uncomfortable. We will not wear certain fabrics. I'm guilty as charged. There's certain fabric suede I cannot. It makes me anyway. We avoid things that are uncomfortable. We install things in our houses to make us comfortable that weren't even like a thing that people thought about. We have air conditioners and furnaces that direct air at the exact right moment. We have smart thermostats to make the thing exactly the right temperature. We actually have people who are married sleeping in the same bed that can control the different temperature of the side of the bed, and that makes everyone more comfortable. And happy, which, yeah, right. We go through our lives and through our day looking for what things can make us comfortable, bring us a peace and a satisfaction. Today I'm going to try and do even more, making sure to be clear about what I am talking about and what I am not talking about. I don't think that we should all go wear uncomfortable clothes, okay? I'm not saying, like, ditch everything that makes you comfortable because it's ungodly, it's totally worshiping a false idol, right? Comfort is an important part of our existence, and it actually has to deal with something that we don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable. It causes us discomfort. Literally, like, understanding what comfort is, you have to talk about things that are uncomfortable and things that make you experience discomfort, because the word comfort doesn't really mean anything without those things. So I want us to understand that there is a need for comfort. And what I mean by comfort is the act of comforting to alleviate felt pain or uneasiness, general dissatisfaction and discomfort. There is a need for us to be comforted and to alleviate pain, because pain isn't an enjoyable thing. And pain also isn't something that was originally be part of the perfect design of the world that we are designed to be in and yet do not live in. So there are many ways that we need comfort. First of all, let's talk about physical pain. We need comfort for physical pain. When we've got backache, nerve problems, muscle problems, we need something to bring us comfort from that state of being. Pain is usually an indication that something is wrong and needs to be adjusted. When you put on clothes and they're uncomfortable, the first question is like, okay, what's wrong with this? Sometimes it's you got them on backwards and they're just not designed to fit that way. You know, I have to deal with that with my four-year-old all the time. Be like, yeah, that shirt's not going to feel good that way because it's on backwards. So it needs to be adjusted. Comfort is an important part of our existence because it helps us to understand what to do when something isn't right. Comfort helps us to come and try and alleviate the pain from it. When you break a leg, I don't think anyone should be like, oh, you shouldn't have painkiller and go get that thing adjusted, right? Pain is part of our experience in this fallen world that we live in, although pain was not something that's designed for a perfect state of existence. And so comfort is a very important thing because we live in pain, and yet we're not designed to live in pain, so we need to have comforting in order to bring us at least some measure of an alleviation of our pain or uneasiness or discomfort. Pain is an undesirable state of being. I hope that's pretty obvious. I hope none of you are like, no, I just love being in pain. Like, every day I just wake up and say, like, I wonder what I can hurt today. Pain is not a good thing. And I think most of us should be able to agree with that. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts all understand that pain is not something that we want to be in continuously. Yet somehow in church history, we got the notion for at least a couple, probably centuries, that inflicting physical pain on ourselves was something spiritual. You had like a whole set of like monks back in the good old days that would like go out of their way to deprive themselves of necessary things, literally beat themselves with sticks and branches and things to generate pain because they believed that that pain was beating sin or unrighteousness out of them. I want us to understand that being in pain is not like I'm a super spiritual person because I'm in pain. Pain is not a good thing. It's not a desirable state of being. We need ways to alleviate it. In case you haven't quite caught it yet, I'm not just talking about physical pain, although that's where we generally talk about feeling comfortable is like, I don't like sitting in this chair because it makes this leg go numb or it makes my toe get this way. I don't like wearing this type of clothing because it makes me feel like I'm going to sweat to death. Whatever it might be, but beyond physical pain, we experience emotional and spiritual pain. And we need a way to be comforted. Usually, emotional and spiritual pain also is an indication that something's off, something's not right, and something needs to be adjusted. And it might not even be your fault. And it might not be even in your ability to change. But when we experience emotional pain and spiritual pain, it's often indicating something is wrong. And it might just be that the world is wrong. But we need to be able to find a way to be comforted in our pain, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual. So we need comfort. The good gift of comfort and twist it into something that is much too important, where literally everything that happens in our life, we feel like nothing should ever cause me pain. I will find a way to alleviate all pain. Take pain out of the equation. My life should be easy. It should be soft. Everything should be like getting a hug from a big stuffed animal. And so we go out and we buy whatever it is that we think will comfort us in the moment or change our situation. We will forge or break relationships in order to alleviate physical and spiritual and emotional pain in order to just get it out away from us, whether it's the right thing to do or not. we can avoid literally anything that just makes us uncomfortable. So things that should be done, we don't do because it's uncomfortable. It makes our stomachs feel funny. I don't want to talk to somebody about that. I don't want to bring this issue up because it's uncomfortable, and so we just avoid it. And we push it aside and pretend like it's not going to have any effect on us. Finally, we just believe all of our life experience should be about us being comfortable. And here in America, let me tell you, we are far more comfortable than literally most of the world. Most of the world thinks it's ludicrous that we will just buy some clothes and then either donate or trash them because it didn't fit my foot just right. And these people are literally tying sheepskin to their foot just so they don't step in glass. When people hear about the fact that here in America we can keep our indoor temperature at a nice exact temperature all year round, are just dumbfounded by the fact that we can do that and that we'll spend tons of money in order to do that. And again, let me tell you, I don't want my house to be 102 degrees inside, so I'm not telling you to go turn your air conditioners off. But we take these all things for granted. I'm sure a lot of us have our favorite blankets, our favorite pillows that make us feel comfortable, our favorite slippers, our favorite chair, our favorite, you name it, because it makes us feel good. It brings peace. At the end of a long day when things aren't going so good, I can sit down and be comfortable in this space. There's nothing terribly wrong with alleviating pain. But when we begin to think that the pursuit of comfort and feeling good and feeling like we shouldn't experience any pain at all, when the world that we live in ought to be causing us some level of pain that ought to bring us closer to God to be comforted, we can look for the comfort to come from the wrong places. So, spiritual or emotional pain cannot be effectively alleviated simply by physical means. We try. When something's going wrong in here, in your soul, and you're having emotional problems and feeling emotional pain, no matter how many blankets, no matter how many cups of hot chocolate you drink, it cannot properly alleviate that pain. Now, we are entire human beings. Our emotional pain can cause us physical pain, and some physical things can alleviate those physical pains, but it does not address the source of the pain to just wrap yourself up in comfortable things, to ignore things that are uncomfortable, and try to move on. We can try to utilize food, activities, relationships, or other distractions in order to dull our pain instead of addressing it. The thing about good comfort is that it goes to the source of the pain, and it either corrects the problem of the pain or gives perspective on the pain or helps us to live even in despite of the pain. If we look to comfort ourselves when we're having emotional or spiritual pain simply by things that make us feel good physically, we will be still in pain and yet wrapped around with all things that we associate with comfort. Luckily for us, God actually provides us a good amount of comfort when we need it, how we need it. And we have a good perspective in the Bible on what we should think about comfort, how we should pursue comfort, and all of these things, because God is a God of comfort. God doesn't want us to be inflicted with pain for our entire life and to go through life with broken relationships, broken emotional patterns, and broken painful experiences throughout our life. God is a God of comfort. So look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul's opening his second letter to the Corinthian church. We covered 1 Corinthians a couple, that's probably over a year now, but he opens it up with his greeting, and then the first thing he says in verse 3 after his greeting is, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God." Paul basically will repeat that in different ways through these couple of verses, but this is what Paul says. Regardless of all the affliction and trials and things that Paul and his friends have gone through while trying to travel the entire world to tell everybody about Jesus and how he died for their sins, you know, we're talking about Paul not just getting in prison, not just getting ridiculed, not just getting kicked out of synagogues, literally getting stoned to death, put on a ship that ends up getting shipwrecked. Paul says that through all of this pain, God has been his comforter. God provides comfort in all of our affliction. So that, why? We would be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction. God, as we like to talk about it, and we like to quote the verse, I believe, in 1 John, that God is love. Well, God is also a God of all comfort, the kind of comfort that actually works. It actually adjusts what needs to be adjusted. It causes us to be brought into peace. Verse 5, he says, "For as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us." So he says, okay, so Jesus was here, and he was persecuted and also executed. As the things in life, the afflictions of Jesus overflow now into us because we follow him, so through Christ, our comfort also overflows. God being a God of all comfort, sending Jesus, who is a person who went through all of our afflictions, who also brings us comfort, the comfort also overflows as his pain overflows to those who follow him. And so verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is experienced in your endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. So Paul says to the Corinthian church, hey, if me and Silas, Timothy, and all of these other people that travel with me are going to be afflicted, it brings us comfort, and it's also for you. Our affliction that we face is for your benefit. Also, if we are comforted by God, then that comfort is also going to overflow to you. And so our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will share in the comfort. When God is the source of our comfort, our source of looking to alleviate the felt pain or uneasiness of life, it is sure to work, because God brings comfort to all affliction, and that comfort comes to those who follow after Jesus, because Jesus suffered and Jesus was comforted. Jesus' sufferings come to us, and he also comforts us, so that we are able to then share our sufferings with others and our comfort with others. God is a God of comfort. He is the source of our comfort. If we want to find comfort in the right places, we look for it in God. Now, just to make sure you know what I'm talking about, I'm not saying if your shoe is uncomfortable that you should ask God to make your shoe comfortable. Or be like, God, help my foot to be comfortable with the shoe that I have on my foot. But I am talking about the kind of emotional and spiritual pain that our souls face on a regular basis, living in a broken world where people don't care about God, where, like, even we as our individual selves don't always listen to God. Looking for comfort in a broken world, we are best off looking for that level of comfort to come from God. But in order to have the comfort from God, this is the awkward thing. You have to feel pain. We like to talk about how God brings us peace and he comforts us and we have him there to support us and to lift us up. But in order for something to be qualified as comfort, it must alleviate pain, which means you must first have it to be alleviated. God's job and his intent is not to make us comfortable and to make our lives pain-free. Because if it was, he'd be doing a much better job of it. His job and his goal is not to make us comfortable and pain-free, but to bring his comfort into a pain-filled world. So just as I said when we were talking about pleasure, that it's kind of ludicrous for us to believe that we're going to feel happy and good all the time. It's equally ludicrous for us to think that we're going to feel comfortable all of the time. It is not reality. Given the perspective that we have in the Bible, we live in a broken world. And if we have turned to God for our salvation, we now have to look at the world the way he looks at it. And that does cause us pain. To see people hating each other, fighting each other, killing each other, fighting over things that don't matter, divorcing each other over the littlest of things. We live in a world of pain. And I think that it would be terribly unspiritual for us to ignore pain. The perspective of the Bible teaches us that we live in a fallen, painful world, and that is what ought to drive us to God. Because this world isn't good. This world should be so much better. Yet it is not. And the only way that we can be comforted in an existence like that is if we find that comfort from the God of comfort, who knows that the world we live in is not right. Aside from God just being the source of all comfort and from knowing that that is where we ought to look for comfort, Jesus also talked about providing comfort to those who follow him. So if you would like to, you can turn with me to John chapter 14. There we go. I was looking at the wrong chapter. I was like, that's not the right verse. There we go. Jesus is preparing his disciples, as he always is, on a reputation about him on a regular basis, that he will be leaving. In verse 25 of chapter 14 in John, it says, "I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the counselor," and depending on your translation, it will say helper, advocate, and in some even comforter, "the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you." Now, Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he leaves. And losing the person that you've been following, you've dedicated your life to, you forsook your family business for him to just leave you, I would imagine would feel at least a little bit of pain. They don't know what they're in store for until it happens, but to have your leader arrested in the dead of night, illegally charged and tried, executed the next morning, and your hope is dead, sure sounds like it would cause some pain. Jesus says that I'm well aware that that's going to hurt. God is going to send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to you to comfort you and to teach you all the things that I've been saying to you that you're not listening to and remind you of everything that I have told you. And Jesus actually said in another account that it is a good thing that Jesus was going to ascend into heaven, because if he didn't, then the Spirit wouldn't come. And here we see the same pattern. There must be a feeling of pain in order for there to be brought comfort from God. And so Jesus promises that those who believe in him and follow after him will have this Spirit that lives in them. And one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to provide comfort to the Christian who lives in a broken world that should be so much better. Comfort is something that is very important to our existence. And it is something that we need. It is something that helps us live in a world that isn't right. In a world where we feel pain physically, where we feel pain emotionally and spiritually. But God's not happy to stop there, to give us the Holy Spirit to help us have comfort, to have the peace, to live in a broken world. God is not just happy to be the God of comfort, to be the source of comfort for us. He promises an everlasting, eternal state of comfort. The Bible doesn't generally, I guess if you found a certain translation, might call it comfort. But this promise that God has to provide a lasting comfort, the Bible tends to call rest. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. And Hebrews is talking about not the Sabbath rest that was in the Old Testament, but the one that is yet to come. That's what he's saying. There still remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. For the person who has entered God's rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. The writer of Hebrews talks about the fact that there will be a greater rest, one that has yet to be experienced, even in the patterns of the Old Testament covenant that reminds us on a weekly basis that we ought to be resting. But there remains a rest yet to come that will be permanent. It'll be eternal. It will be our new state of being, one with no pain, no death, where we won't need to be comforted anymore because there will be no more pain. Instead, we will enter a new state of being into rest. I would submit to you that when we worship the idol of comfort, that is what we are looking for. Rest, a complete elimination of things that are uncomfortable or painful. We want to live like that. And it is a good thing that we want to live like that, because that is what God has ultimately designed for us. In Revelation chapter 21, it talks about how this new Jerusalem comes. This is the end goal. This is still to come, that God is going to finally restore all of creation back to the way it was supposed to be, without the pain and sin that we have brought into it. And it talks about how God is coming to live with his people. God will be with them. He will be their God. And in verse 4, which is very well known, says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. God promises to provide a lasting comfort in the end for those who follow him. He will bring to an end all the things that cause us pain, like death. A death of a loved one, a spouse, a child, coworker, a neighbor. Death will no longer exist to bring us pain in our souls. We will have our last tears we will ever cry wiped away by God when he provides an everlasting comfort called rest in the new world. all these previous things, the painful things, the sinful things, will pass away, and God will bring us into a new state of being. And it will be awesome. That's what we want. And yet we look for it in things. We look for it in people. We look for it in food. We look for it in our hobbies. We look for it in warmth, or if you really hate being warm, coolness. We look for it in every nook and cranny of our broken, painful, pain-filled world. But we don't look for it from God, who is the source of all comfort, who provides us the comforter to live inside of us to bring us comfort in the meanwhile until he brings us a permanent comfort. So what can we learn that we need to make sure to evaluate whether we idolize comfort or we are enjoying the gift of comfort from God? Is first, are you asking yourself, how can I make myself more comfortable? Not just like with your outfit, but are you looking for your own comfort? That will usually lead you down a wrong path. Because it's about me. Me, 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 me. Where can I find my comfort? And hopefully you can answer that self-centered question with, well, God. And God's the only satisfactory answer to that question. But if we're asking ourselves that question, where can I find my comfort? Where can I find my comfort? It will usually lead us down the wrong path. But if we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, instead of asking, where is my comfort? How can I be more comfortable? Paul talks to us, I think, about the correct way for us to see comfort is, how can I provide God's comfort to others? Notice what he says in verse 4. He says, God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be comfortable. Oh, nope, that's not what it says. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so through Christ our comfort also overflows. So if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is experienced in your endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is firm because we know that as you share in the suffering, so you will also share in the comfort. Instead of walking around our lives saying, how can I be comforted, even from legitimate pain, even from actual emotional and spiritual pain that ought to be felt in those moments, instead of asking, who can comfort me? We need to be asking, how can I be comforted by God to bring comfort to others? And if we are willing to give comfort to others, it will really prevent us from holding on to comfort as an idol. You don't freely give that away. It teaches our hearts that the comfort that comes from God is to bring us comfort so that we can also provide the same kind of comfort from God to other people who are suffering. Instead of looking for everything to make us comfortable and to feel no pain at all, when we feel pain, we ought to say, okay, what's the source of this pain? How can it be alleviated? How can God bring comfort? And how can I then bring that comfort to those around me who also are feeling pain? Finally, I just say, do not be afraid of the pain. Don't be worried about it. I understand, like, I had different physical problems, and I understand the feeling of, like, oh no, when is this not going to work? But don't feel afraid of the pain, because it is in the pain that we can be comforted. It is with the things that are uncomfortable that we don't want to do that we find the comfort from God that tells us the world, new world is coming. It is in the pain of losing someone that we can be comforted by others and by God to understand that at one point, death will not exist anymore. Comfort is very much a needed thing, but in order for comfort to be needed, there must be pain. And unfortunately, in our first world context here in modern day America, we do so much work to make sure that no one ever feels any pain, that the comfort that comes from God is going to be well undervalued. If we don't come to grips with the fact that our world is broken, that the way we work with each other is broken, the way that we talk to each other, the way that we judge each other is all broken, and that tragedies should not exist, if we do not come to grips with the pain, we cannot ever be truly comforted. We can try and mask it, we can try to cover it up, we can try to ignore as much as we can. But if you want to experience the comfort that comes from God, who is the source of comfort, who understands that our existence is painful, don't be afraid to first feel the pain in order to know what needs to be worked on and adjusted so that you, through your suffering and affliction, just like Jesus suffered and afflicted, can be comforted yourself to provide comfort for other people who will also be feeling their pain. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the spirit that you've given to us to comfort us in this really awkward time in our world, where we all want heaven and existence with you that is perfect and is restful without pain, but we live surrounded by things that should not be. We pray that we would learn to feel the pain so that we can be comforted by you to provide that comfort to others who are also in pain, that we would not make it about us, about how can I be comforted, how can I be comfortable, how can I avoid pain, but that we would understand the trials and sufferings, afflictions of life help us to be united with Christ in his sufferings. We pray that not be so selfish as to hold on to the comfort we receive from you that makes us feel good, makes us feel a little bit better in our painful existence, but that we would share it and give it away as fast as we can to those who are hurting. We pray that if there are people who live in this painful world who don't know you, who cannot experience your comfort, who don't have your comforter living inside of them, that we would be ready to share the hope that comes from the gospel to them, that they would come to know you and to love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.